Hello there. I'm Pastor Gillespie from St. John Evangelical Lutheran Church and School, Sherman Center, Random Lake, Wisconsin. It is February 15th, 2021. If you're not following along in the chat, you don't see that February 14th, 2021, that would have been yesterday. And let's see, what, 2:28 p.m.? The Lord saw to finally deliver Dorothy into this world. Baby daughter. So we give thanks to God for that today. And of course, that means I don't know how well my brain is working at the moment, but that's okay. Take a little break. Anne's got some help. The big kids are up and her mom is here, so we should be fine. All right. Let's see. This week, what we're going to be doing is, I think this week, and let me see if next week as well. At least this week and next week, we will be considering the sacrament of the altar. Which is, I think, fitting, beginning the season of Lent. We just had confession, absolution, the office of the keys, and now the sacrament of the altar, which is where we receive forgiveness, life, and salvation each and every week. So we'll do that, but we'll do it from the scriptures, rather than work it the other direction, which is to say, well, here's what the catechism teaches. Now, where in scripture can we prove it? The better way to go about things is not to just assume the catechism is correct, but actually read the scriptures and then look at the catechism and see if the catechism confesses faithfully what the scriptures say, right? And that's what we do as Lutherans. This is a misunderstanding that some people have with the doctrinal positions of the church. It isn't doctrine first, then what do the scriptures say to prove it, but we go the other direction, all right? Always. What do the scriptures say, and then how can we faithfully confess that in our own words? All right. Good. All right. Let me get the devotion up on the screen. And there's that. And the window. And there's that. All right. Very good. And there we go. All right. Let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. All right, our memory verse for this week, we say it together. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16. I don't know if it's going to come up, so it's worth mentioning now with the memory verse. When we talk about Holy Communion, we're talking about Christ joining himself to bread and wine. Now, a lot of times I think people understand it as the communion that we have with one another, but we're only joined to one another in the sacrament by virtue of being joined to his body and blood, namely to him through the sacrament, right? And then that joins us to one another, binds us in unity as we sing in Wide Open Stand the Gates, that lovely hymn. All right, our psalm this week is Psalm 107 now, beginning in verse 17. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities, suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He sent out his word, and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving, and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven, they went down to the depths, their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the evildoers. Glory be to the Father, of the elders, Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All right. First reading today is the creation account, according to St. John in his Gospel, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Word. All right. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but what a lovely confession of creation, but now understood in light of Christ. All right, our reading for catechesis today is Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the heaven and the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one that skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one who goes around the whole land of Cush. The name of the third river is Hiddekel, which is the one that goes toward the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the Euphrates. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." There ends the reading. All right. You'll note, this is the history, right? So this is God telling us the history of what he alone knows, right? Because he alone did. When it comes to the apologetics, Christian apologetics, and defending the creation account, while you can use things like geological record and other ways, like, say, Answers in Genesis does, and others like the Creation Institute, what I would suggest is that you take Jesus at his word. He refers to this account as being history, as it's so it's not just self-authenticating, but actually the one who died and rose again, whose word we take quite seriously, because he did what he said he would do. Well, he refers to God creating the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rising, or, and resting on the seventh. All right. In chapter 5 here, you see there's an important word. It says, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown. In NIV, it's translated had sprung up. What do you think the importance of that term is? Had grown or sprung up? This will come up especially as we consider Jesus, right? Well, let's look at where it's also used. The same word is used in Zechariah 6, verse 12, I think. Yeah, there it is. We've read this before, but it's the same word, but it's translated a little differently here, so this will help. Behold, the man whose name is Branch, from his place he shall, and here's the same word, branch out. So it could be sprung up or grown, but branch out. And he shall build the temple of the Lord, and yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Right? So it's sprout out or branch out or sprung up or grown, right? And that's, of course, a testimony of Christ. All right. I see a comment about Jesse tree. Yeah, that's a whole nother subject. Okay, very good. How might this help us understand that there was no man to work the ground? What is needed to work the ground? The man, right? Yeah, ultimately the Father would send the man, the branch, to bring life out of men of dust, right? Here, God the Father does it by the word of the Son, but ultimately that's what he'll do to all in the last day, right? Cause us to spring up as a seed falls to the ground and dies, right? Referring to us. Okay, so what had God planted? We should talk about that. Before any plant, and the Lord God, verse 8, planted a garden. And whom did he put in the garden? The man whom he had formed, all right, which we heard back in chapter 1. What is the importance of gardens in biblical language? Let's see if you can think of other gardens. Well, in the prophets, it's used in a very particular way. For example, let's look at Isaiah chapter 5. Read that for you. Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, here it is, regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes, etc. All right. So that's a picture of the Lord planting us in the vineyard is a picture of the church and of heaven. Of course, this all then connects very well with the end of John's Gospel, John chapter 19, which you probably know. Now, in the place where he was crucified, here it is, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had been yet laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. And then, of course, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that it had been taken away. And of course, she ran and get the disciple, et cetera, et cetera. Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked inside the tomb, two angels. Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not know that it was Jesus. Remember this? Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you are seeking?" And here's the key. She, supposing him to be the gardener, right? Because he's buried in a garden and raised in a garden. All right. I saw a comet fly by there. Was Adam not named yet? Well, Adam, is just Hebrew for man. So yes, he's been named here. All right. Because that's his name, man. All right. Let's see. Where was the garden located? The garden was located eastward in Eden. Right? So Eden is the region, and then the garden is in the midst of Eden on the eastward side. What did the Lord make grow out of the ground? It says here, it's focused in chapter 2 on the trees, right? The trees. And how are the trees described? Verse 9, pleasant to the sight and good for food. What trees were in the middle of the garden? I think it's assumed both were. Yeah, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? What in what other text is the tree of life mentioned? Right, it does come up again, but it's used by St. John not in his gospel, but in his Apocalypse, chapter 22. In the middle, I'll go back to verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. So the rivers again, right? Clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Yeah. So here in this description of heaven is the tree of life mentioned again. Why are trees so important in this story, do you think? Why a tree? Well, I don't see anybody come by. You're probably about 60 seconds behind me. Anyway, chapter three of Galatians, amongst other places, but this is very concise, talks about the tree. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All right? So, Jesus himself was hung upon a tree, died on the tree of the cross. All right, let's talk a little bit about the rivers. Yeah, the tree is big with lots of branches there in Revelation. It's true. And 12 different kinds of fruit for the 12 tribes, 12 apostles, etc. All sorts of symbolism there. What's the significance of these four rivers that come from one source? Right? It comes out of Eden and then it splits into four river heads, right? All right. So one common source, right? So the water that gives us life comes from one common source, that is, from Jesus himself, right? And then four is the number of the world, and it's also the number of the gospel, right? Because the living water of the Spirit will flow out to all the ends of the earth in baptism, right? So this water language and this tree language, I mean, we're talking about baptism language here now with water. What did the Lord put or do with the man? Again, he put him, tells us again, in the garden, that is, in Eden, to do what? It says there, to tend and keep it, right? To care for it. All right. What was the man free to eat? Or was the man free to eat of every tree in the garden? Well, yes, it does say that. Every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but which tree, if you ate of it, bore a curse? 17, right? You see that there? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. So the curse was, you eat of that tree, you will surely die. Now, I suppose you might ask the question here, well, Adam didn't die immediately after eating of the fruit, he and Eve. Well, they did, actually. They died in unbelief, right? They hid from God. They had made him his enemy. Right. It's actually God's mercy that they weren't immediately dead for the sake of repentance and the forgiveness of sins, which God did. All right, we'll talk about that more tomorrow. North, south, east, west rivers. Yes, going to the four corners of the earth, right? So this language of a water that waters all the earth is the language, again, of heaven, where Christ is the living water that goes out to all the nations. All right, when God made man and placed him in Eden, he already saw the need to send the man who would bring life from the dust of death. The man, Christ Jesus, would taste of the fruit of the tree of the curse and suffer death that we might eat of the tree of life in him. Indeed, when his body hangs from the cross, the tree of the curse becomes the tree of life for the healing of the nations. He bids us to taste of the fruit of the tree each time we receive his body and blood that hung upon the cross for us and rose triumphant from the grave. Actually, it'd probably be a fun exercise. You can find this pictured in sacred art from the Reformation, but also from before, where you'll have Christ upon the cross, but then you'll have angels, typically, collecting from his side the blood and the water that came from his side, right? Usually the blood from the wounds collected into a chalice, like the cup that we use in the sacrament. So you'll often see that, that Christ, the fruit of the tree is Christ's forgiveness that is purchased and won for us there in his death. Very good. All right. What is the sacrament of the altar? It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, under the bread and wine, instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and to drink. Where is this written? The holy evangelists Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. Paul write, "Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, I come to the altar at your invitation to receive the holy body and the precious blood of my Savior Jesus Christ. I confess to you all my sins. I am heartily sorry for them. For Jesus' sake, I forgive my enemies and all who have sinned against me. I believe that you give me the forgiveness of sins and the gift of new life and salvation through the body and blood of my Savior. Through the Lord's Supper, strengthen my faith in Christ. Increase my love for others. Grant me faithfulness in my vocations. Give me the joyous hope and confidence of eternal life and salvation in Jesus Christ. Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. On this Monday, we pray for faith, to live in the promises of holy baptism, pray for all vocations and daily work, for the unemployed, for the salvation and well-being of our neighbors, for our schools, our homeschools, our colleges and seminaries, and for good government and peace. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Pray for all our first responders, doctors, nurses, and all those who work in nursing homes and hospitals. Pray for an end to all fear, anxious thoughts, and constant worry. Pray for deliverance from all authoritarian, tyrannical, and dictatorial rule, and those who would restrict or censor our God-given rights of faith, speech, press, assembly, and redress of grievances. We ask the Lord grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children, especially Anne, increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Let's see, today we pray in thanksgiving with John, who celebrates his birthday. Of course, we pray in thanksgiving with my family. We celebrate the birth of our daughter, Dorothy Ann, which you can see there. We also pray for those who are ill and recovering, that the Lord grant them healing, especially Marcella, Kelsey, Amanda, John, Timothy, Sandy, Linda, and Ken, Aaron, and Penny. Pray for our homebound Bev, David, Willis, and Janice, and Mickey. Pray for the missions and mercy work of the church, especially Sheboygan Lutheran High School and Sheboygan County Hispanic Outreach. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Pray the collect for this week. O Lord, mercifully hear our prayers, and having set us free from the bonds of our sins, deliver us from every evil. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. There is a commemoration today. Well, yesterday, of course, was Valentinius, St. Valentine. Now, today, the commemoration is Philemon and Onesimus. Philemon and Onesimus. You probably haven't read it. Not a very long book. One page. Philemon was a prominent first century Christian who owned a slave named Onesimus. Although the name Onesimus means useful, Onesimus proved himself useless when he ran away from his master and perhaps even stole from him. Philemon 18. Somehow, Onesimus came into contact with the Apostle Paul while the latter was in prison, possibly in Rome. and through Paul's proclamation of the gospel, he became a Christian. After confessing to the apostle that he was a runaway slave, Onesimus was directed by Paul to return to his master and become, quote-unquote, useful again. In order to help pave the way for Onesimus's peaceful return home, Paul sent him on his way with a letter addressed to Philemon, a letter in which he urged Philemon to forgive his slave for running away and to, quote, receive him as you would receive me, verse 17. No longer as a slave, but as a beloved brother, verse 16. The letter was eventually included by the church as one of the books of the New Testament. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you sent Onesimus back to Philemon as a brother in Christ, freeing him from his slavery to sin through the preaching of the Apostle Paul. Cleanse the depths of sin within our souls and bid resentment cease for past offenses, that by your mercy we may be reconciled to our brothers and sisters and our lives will reflect your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. All right, we sing our hymn for this week. Try to memorize stanza 1 and 2 if you're able. Maybe you already have it memorized. This is a pretty well-known communion hymn. O Lord, we praise thee.
Our Savior. live together here in love and union, nor despise this blessed communion. O Lord, have mercy. Let not thy good spirit forsake us, but that heavenly minded he make us. Give thy church, Lord, to see days of peace and unity. Have mercy.
All right, so good to have you all here with us for our congregation of prayer today. I just kind of needed to take a break. It's all good. Everything's going great upstairs. Let's see. So thank you for all your kind words there in the chat. Yeah, we rejoice. Let's see. Well, maybe you want to know a few details, I suppose, right? Biggest baby ever. 10 pounds, 0.8 ounces. Biggest head ever, which did not make labor fun. 15 inches. Circumference, let's see, not the longest baby ever, 20.25 inches, and any other crazy stuff? Well, no, we'll just see how things go right now, and but nursing and sleeping and whatever, waking me up in the middle of the night multiple times, as it is. So, Lord be with you all, and we'll see you again in the morning for our congregation of prayer. Have a blessed day.